Welcome to Civil Discourse. This podcast will use government documents to illuminate the workings of the American government and offer context around the effects of government agencies in your everyday life. And now your hosts, Nia Rogers, Public Affairs Librarian, and Dr. John Augenbaugh, Political Science Professor.
Hey, Augie.
Hi. What's up?
Nothing much except that I want to talk to you about public discourse.
Senators threatening Supreme Court justices?
Like that. Like that. That kind of public discourse. That's exactly what I want to talk about.
And chief justices then issuing press releases, which hardly ever happens?
Yeah. Whole thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So can we get into that?
Oh, sure.
Awesome. So we talked about during the impeachment, or rather post-impeachment, my sort of frustration with doing something that you know
is more than likely not going to be successful.
Exactly. And this kind of falls into that same category. But I'm going to put out there that going around threatening Supreme Court justices with apparently kneecapping them or whatever it is that you think a price to be paid, and you guys can't see my air quotes, but that was the phrase, right, that was used, price to be paid for not voting correctly on a court case.
Yeah, what?
That's way out over your skis. I mean, that.
Yeah.
I know that that Senator Schumer is from New York, and I know that I'm from the South, and we talk about these things differently because, see, I would hear that in a way that sounded mafia-like. That was my first response was, what is he in the mafia? Is he going to put, cement shoes on people and put them in the river? Like, I have all these imaginings, because I'm from the South, that people from New York, that's how they act, which is not the case at all, right? But movies. That's what I see in movies. And so
TV shows. And,
exactly. Yeah. Always has a New Yorker is mouthy and threatening and whatever. I'm like, if they were all like that, they'd all be dead. That's not possible, right? Like, it's not possible for everyone in a state to be homicidal. But I'm not entirely sure what it gains for a person of Schumer's stature.
Yeah, what listeners
stand around and say,
listeners, what Nia is referencing.
You're going to pay a price. I mean, like, wow, okay.
What Nia is referencing is immediately after the Supreme Court this week heard oral arguments in a case where there is a challenge to an abortion law in Louisiana, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, right outside the Supreme Court,
walked over there to say it, didn't?
In a widely televised press conference, went ahead and called out two of our current Supreme Court justices, Justice Neil Gorsuch and Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and said that if they didn't vote to uphold a woman's right to choose, there would be a price to pay. That's the exact quote. Now, because he is a senator from New York, okay?
Right.
Let's just put it this way. The blogosphere, the Twitter sphere. Okay.
I mean, it came out kind of threatening. I'm just saying, if I was Gorsuch or Kavanaugh, I'd be like, what did he just say?
Well, and the words were perceived apparently within the Supreme Court as so threatening and dangerous that it led to the Chief Justice, John Roberts, to respond within hours.
Yeah, and they almost never say anything.
No, geez.
Their whole thing is like, you can call us whatever names you want.
We
you can
speak
say
with
whatever,
our opinions.
Right. We're not talking to you about, we're not holding press conferences and having a big old fuss. That like, so when he, John, he responded and what did he, didn't he?
Yeah, John Roberts went ahead and said that such rhetoric was dangerous, and that court is focusing on legal arguments and not necessarily what people within the political realm,
want or don't want.
And this
from the guy who everybody assumed would overturn completely Obamacare, and he did not.
He did not.
Because he was looking at the legal argument that was being made.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of John Roberts. In part because he is about as bland a bowl of tapioca as I've ever seen. And I like my judges feisty. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of Scalia personally, but as a judge, I was a fan, right? Because he was a feisty judge.
But
probably better for the Supreme Court if the chief isn't a feisty person, because he's got a lot of feisty people under him. But
John Roberts.
John Roberts.
This is the second time in the last 3 years where John Roberts has had to go ahead and tell a politician to cool it with the rhetoric.
Right, cool your jets, there, buddy.
Okay, because 3 years ago, he actually responded to President Trump. President Trump made some comments that when his travel ban, particularly the first two versions, were being declared unconstitutional by various lower federal court judges, that the only reason why they were ruling against his travel ban was that they were Obama judges, i.e. they were appointed by President Barack Obama.
And then he went into some depth about how some of them were also Hispanic
and, yes, yes.
And
John Roberts responded.
Biased and...
John Roberts responded in an interview. And again, highly unusual. There are certain justices who will do interviews with the press. John Roberts is not one of them.
Right. He tends to be a very private individual.
Okay. If you've ever read his annual report that he has to issue, because as Chief Justice, he's head of the judicial branch, okay, it is painstaking to read because he hardly ever rocks the boat. I mean, the words you can tell are carefully chosen, right?
Yeah, he crafts. Okay, he crafts his message.
So when he gave this interview, he went ahead and responded rather directly. He said, there aren't Obama judges. There aren't Trump judges.
Right.
There aren't Bush or Clinton judges. We are just judges. Okay?
Right. And he basically was like, don't demean people's education and ability and their willingness to be fair and honest.
Yes.
And, you know, are there bad judges? Yeah,
oh, yeah, of course
there are.
Yes.
But as a whole, they tend to be people who are thoughtful. They tend to be people. They know that what they're doing
has a huge impact.
Right.
Yes.
It's not like they enter lightly into that. You know, that's the one thing. Again, not a huge fan of some of our Supreme Court justices. But whatever you may say about them, they put.
Oh, they're earnest.
Right.
Yes.
They put themselves into it fully.
Yes.
Like they want to do the right thing because they know that could be 100 years, 200 years, 300 years that they're setting precedent for.
Sure.
They aren't just going, la, 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 I'll just pick A because it feels good and then I'm moving on. I mean, that's not.
Yeah. I mean, and as my students who have taken courts and politics course with me come to figure out, you know, some of the justices, some of the federal judges, not really all that bright or talented, okay? Some were evil, right? Justice McReynolds, who was appointed by Woodrow Wilson and served until the late 1930s, he was a raging anti-Semite, okay?
Right, and some of them are racist and some of them are misogynist.
Yes, right?
And do all kinds of terrible things.
Okay, on the other hand, okay, I would... you know, put up the quality of the people who've been federal judges in this country against judges in any country.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay. They are earnest people. I mean, the current bunch, okay, whether or not you like Brett Kavanaugh, you believe that, you know, when he was a younger man, okay.
He was foolish.
Okay. And engaged in the behavior he was accused of. Whether or not you believe Neil Gorsuch occupies the stolen seat that should have went to
an Obama appointee.
Okay. But if you look at their credentials, okay, extremely bright, okay, if you are a constitutional law, you know, I was going to say, you know, junkie, you know, I'm into it, right? I mean, if you read their opinions, you read the oral argument transcripts, these are bright people, okay, who, you know, just the case that Schumer was responding to, the Louisiana abortion case. Okay. I would have preferred that he had waited until he read the oral argument transcript and then commented, because if you had read the if you read the oral argument transcript, and again, oral arguments are never 100%
absolute indicator,
but you can tell that the justices were struggling with this. They wanted to uphold a precedent that was decided 3 or 4 years ago. It was fairly obvious that a number of the justices believe in a woman's right to choose. There were other justices who were struggling to make sense of whether or not, you know, historically states have police power to decide how to regulate all medical procedures, including abortions.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
How do you make sense of?
And what's the unintended consequences here?
Yes.
How does that affect other? If it's medical procedures, how does that affect other medical procedures?
And as one of the lower federal court judges who ruled on this case previously hypothesized, if Louisiana state law was upheld as being constitutional, there was a very good chance that in the very near future there would be only one abortion provider in the state. So how would that impact women?
Right.
Okay. If you read the oral argument transcript, they're
struggling with that.
Yeah,
I saw that the questions that they were asking were not simple.
No.
And they were not political.
No.
They were very much about the turn of the law. How is this going to?
Yeah. And then if they uphold the Louisiana law, what does that mean for the precedent in a case from 3-4 years ago, the Hellerstedt case from the state of Texas?
I was going to say, is that the one out of Texas?
Yeah, the one out of Texas. And
right.
And historically, the Supreme Court does not like to overturn precedent so quickly, because if they did so, really the only significant membership change, okay, would be Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. So the assumption of Schumer was, well, if the Supreme Court upholds Louisiana law, it's because of the stolen seat justice and the justice who shouldn't be on the court because he more than likely in his youth, okay, was a rapist. Okay.
Right.
So when you have that kind of discourse, okay.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It comes down to that discourse, to the idea of coarseness in public speaking. And what I was extremely disappointed by with Senator Schumer was that, and please take this in exactly the way I intend it, he sounded a great deal the way Donald Trump sounds when he's mad about something. He says things that he doesn't. I think that he then sometimes tries to walk back because he realizes he was angry in the moment or he was emotional in the moment. President Trump does it. Not just President Trump. Obviously, lots of people do that. I do that. I've said things in the moment that I completely regret, right? And fortunately for me, there's nobody recording me when I do that, right?
Yes,
so I don't have to answer for those things, but except to myself and to the person I said it to. So. But it disappointed me because it was such a coarse, crude thing to say. And he said it because he's emotionally tied to the case. I get that. But he had to go out of his way to say it. And he didn't need to. He didn't.
No.
He could have said, we hope they do the right thing.
Yeah, or
right,
you know,
whatever, it's up to you to interpret what the right thing is, or what you believe Schumer believes is the right thing. But instead, he was basically threatening people's kneecaps, and I'm not a fan.
Yeah, and he tried to walk it back either last night or this morning. You know, my words were misinterpreted. I'm like,
really?
Okay.
How does one misinterpret that?
And again, you know. you're from the South. I'm from the North. Okay. Somebody says that, uses the words that he says.
You're going to pay.
Okay. You know.
What are you thinking?
You know, there is a price to pay. Well, I mean, hey, that is ambiguous enough to where you can read a lot into it.
Right.
And again, I would hope that our elected officials speak better, right? That they understand their words are being reported, and that the audience is much broader than just you and your friend having a conversation over dinner.
Exactly.
Okay. Or you and your spouse, okay, talking to one another first thing in the morning before you've had coffee or tea or whatever, right?
Well, and it's ammunition for your enemies. That's the other thing, is it's slipshod. Why on earth would you say something that your enemies could immediately cut and pull out,
yeah,
and make a commercial from.
And I've told students who support both Democrats and Republicans, you know, this argument that the other side or the other person, okay, is saying stuff like this. Well, you know, that's juvenile,
right?
Okay, It reminds me of, you know, those various conversations you have in your youth with your parents, where they fire back. Well, if your friends, you know, jumped off a cliff,
would you do that?
Okay. Or, you know, the
depends
number
on how high the cliff is.
You know, how many times I, you know, said to my mom, well, you know, one of my siblings was able to do X.
And exactly.
And my mom's response was, so what? Act better.
Right.
Be better. Right. You know, the number of my students who were extremely critical of Brett Kavanaugh's comments during the his Senate confirmation hearing, particularly after the allegations were made against him. Okay, with the Senate committee, you know, he goes ahead and testifies and he basically just loses it. I mean, he gets emotional, et cetera, right?
Angry. He didn't look very
judge-like.
Right.
Okay. He didn't have judicial temperament.
Right.
Okay. A retired Supreme Court Justice, John Paul Stevens, was just like, I would have voted against him just simply because he did not exhibit judicial temperament. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, guys. Okay. Now, if you've been working for something all your life, okay, you would not do what Kavanaugh did? And they were like, of course not, because he's supposed to be a judge. And I said, okay, fine. So I said—
But he's still a human.
I said, okay, so do we expect or should we expect better discourse, better behavior from our elected officials? If the answer is yes, does not that apply to all parties in all government institutions? So if you don't like how the current president speaks or uses Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, I'm not a huge fan. Okay. I've said this in a number of contexts. Okay.
Of Twitter or of his Twitter?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. I want presidents to get off of social media.
Me too.
Okay.
And no Facebook, no Twitter.
Okay. And in particular, the rhetoric that is used on social media, including by our current president, okay,
right.
I want better.
Right.
I want better, okay?
And agreed. And not just Donald Trump, but everyone who's
yes.
on those forums
yes.
needs to think about the fact that, see, I'm always now I'm going to sound like an old person, an older person than I am, which is already saying something. I think people don't think it counts somehow.
Because it's on social media. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, that is a thing that will get used against you for years.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to look for a job, your employer is going to Google you.
Yes.
And if they see comments that you have made, I mean, how many singers, movie stars, whoever, have made racist, misogynist, jerk comments in their past, and that gets brought up 5 years later, when they do something public and somebody says, well, yeah, you say that now, but that's not what you were saying 5 mm-hmm. years ago. Right. And I don't think there should be a statute of limits on bad behavior, calling out bad behavior. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you need to think about it when you put those things out for other people to yes. see. What is that? How is that going to be perceived 5 years from now? Are you going to be the person you are now 5 years from now? The answer to that, I promise you, is no, you are not. And so do you want that to be your legacy? Does Chuck Schumer really want his legacy to be, I stood in front of a bunch of reporters and threatened 2 Supreme Court justices?
Yeah.
And I'm with John Roberts. That was threatening language. And they don't have protection the way presidents have protection.
Yes.
The vice president. So part of what he's thinking is not that Chuck Schumer's going to break his kneecaps, because Chuck Schumer's not going to break. I mean, really, the fight between John Roberts and Chuck Schumer is not going to end well for Chuck Schumer. I'm just saying. Pretty much, and RBG, she could take them all. That's not.
Yeah.
But what he's worried about is in the discourse that we are currently having, somebody hearing that and saying what he wants me to do is hurt them.
Yeah.
And then doing or attempting to do it because they believe in the cause or
sure.
whatever.
Yeah.
That's what John Roberts is worried about. He's not worried about Schumer. He's worried about, you know, your average unwell individual on the street who may or may not decide
who's
to try to do something about that.
You know, is you know, feeling as though they got a role in a cause.
Okay? Exactly.
Or
they're in love with a movie star. I mean, the guy who shot Ronald Reagan
yes.
was in love with Jodie Foster. To no fault of Jodie Foster. She didn't encourage him.
No,
she didn't.
No.
I mean, he was obsessed with her and thought, well, this would be a great way to get her attention. So, I mean, that's also scary, too. A great way to get somebody's attention would be to hurt one of these justices.
And
that'd
when,
be terrifying.
And when I heard and I watched the video of Senator Schumer's remarks, it brought me back to one of our first conversations about why we wanted to do this podcast,
right.
Okay, which is, you know, what is the value of civil discourse? And again, we've talked about this. I'm not necessarily suggesting that people need to speak civilly because that's what those in power – how those in power want you to speak, right? You know, we've talked about this before. One of the complaints that I frequently hear from my students is that they are told to be more civil by those in power who don't really want to hear them. And I'm not saying that.
Right.
Okay. On the other hand, if you don't speak in a civil way, there's very little chance that the person you're speaking to will ever have their mind changed.
Right. Exactly.
So if the purpose of Schumer's remarks was to go ahead and motivate the Democratic Party base, okay, fine. But in the process, he basically had to know that all conservatives were like, oh, he's just another nut job Democrat. Okay. You might have moderates or independents who are like, you know, I wasn't all that sympathetic to the Louisiana law, but I'm not entirely sure I want to be supportive of a bunch of people who speak this way.
Right. Okay. That's me.
Okay.
I was frustrated by that.
Okay. And moreover, as somebody who frequently laments how Supreme Court decisions get covered, either by the press but also elected officials, okay, I would challenge you, and I hope we actually put this up on the resource guide, that the oral arguments, the oral argument transcript, you read it, okay?
Right.
And yes, some of it is arcane legal talk.
Yeah, skip that part.
Okay. But you can see that, you know, it would not surprise me, for instance, after reading the transcript, which I have.
Of course you have.
Okay. It would not surprise me if John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh uphold the Supreme Court's decision in the Hellerstedt case. It won't surprise me. Okay. Now, this would upset conservatives who've been hoping that there at some point will be a majority of the justices that will
overturn Roe v.
I just don't see John Roberts doing it, one. And based on Brett Kavanaugh's questions, I think Kavanaugh was really struggling with why the court should go ahead and uphold the Louisiana law when the Texas law, remarkably similar, by the way, was declared unconstitutional as an undue burden on a woman's right to choose.
Okay. Right. As the current law exists.
That's what it is, right? Now, some of the justices, you know, we can predict their votes even before they took the case, right?
Right.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to go ahead and say Louisiana law is unconstitutional, right?
So is Sotomayor.
Sotomayor, Kagan.
So is Kagan.
More than likely Breyer, right? On the opposite side, Alito and Clarence Thomas have consistently, have voted against a woman's right to choose. Okay, they believe that it is a matter for the states to decide. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. But when you read the oral argument transcript, you can see, and again, this is a difficult issue.
Right.
I mean, according to many scholars, according to many political commentators, abortion has been the most divisive issue in American politics since Roe v. Wade was handed down by the court. So if the American public is frequently divided by this, you know, why are we expecting Supreme Court justices to not also struggle with this? I mean, because many Americans, even today, support a woman's right to choose, but they believe that reasonable regulations are also acceptable.
Right. It's complex.
It is complex.
It's a complex issue, and standing out, grandstanding about it.
No.
And especially grandstanding in a way that sounds like a thug.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
Really? What are you doing? I don't know. The whole thing just sort of set my teeth on edge.
And again, in listeners, I hope this is coming clear in me and Nia's discussion, in our discussion today, is that, you know, we're not picking on Democrats or Republicans, you know, Schumer or Trump. You know, our basic concern here is what happens when the language becomes coarse, when it becomes threatening, right? I mean, there are plenty of studies that go ahead and say that one of the reasons why perhaps hate speech should not get protected by the First Amendment is that the audience, the recipient of the speech, feels threatened. So they stop hearing the speech because they feel threatened. They feel the hate. I don't know about, you know, anybody else. I think you and I are on the same page on this. But when I read the Senator Schumer's remarks and then I saw the video, I wasn't feeling all that receptive to the point that he was trying to make.
Right.
All I kept on thinking was, oh my goodness, this is the Senate Minority Leader. This is the leader of the Democratic Party in one of our federal government institutions who is basically threatening two of our Supreme Court justices. I didn't hear.
Yeah, I had a moment where I thought, have I slipped back in time where it's okay, like the 1700s when you called people out because you wanted a duel or whatever?
I mean,
because barring that, you are a thug if you go around saying,
you know, the rest of
I'm going to make you pay.
The rest of his message was completely lost on me.
Exactly. Those words were what I heard.
Yes.
I'm sure he had other things to say, and I have no idea what they were.
Yes.
Because I stopped. I was like, what? Did he just threaten Supreme Court justices?
It's much
and
like
even
when,
if he didn't threaten them in a sense of realism, like this is a threat I am going to carry out, that kind of threat. There are things that you say to your friends, right? I'm going to smack you in the back of the head, right? Like the things that, or your parents would say to you, I'm going to skin you a lot. They didn't mean it.
No.
And it wasn't a threat that was intended to be carried through.
Yeah, I don't know how many times my sister said to me, I'm going to kill you. Now, right. did I fear for my life? Heck no.
Right.
Okay. But nevertheless, okay. That's that particular context,
but
right?
It's familial,
yes, right?
It's familiar. Your friends, you would never say that to one of your students in your case, or me to one of the professors that I work with. I would never say that to somebody that I wasn't really good friends with and knew I was playing, because I don't know what they hear when I say that.
Yeah,
and that's the thing where we seem to be losing in some of our discussion in government, is that we're not, it's what you said earlier, we're not thinking about how the other person is hearing what we're saying and what that sounds like to them. And that's something that if you just stop for 5 minutes and think to yourself, if I say these words, are they going to know I'm kidding? Are they going to know I'm playing? Or are they going to think there's actually a potential threat here, or that I'm inciting some kind of threat?
Well, and if the purpose of Senator Schumer's
remarks— And it's not just him. Other people are guilty of it as well.
—was to mobilize his base. Okay, fine. But again, he's a politician, okay? If the Democratic Party wants to win elections, the tent has to get bigger, which means you can't turn off potential people who might be persuaded to join the Democratic Party or to vote for Democratic Party candidates.
Right.
You use that kind of language, okay?
And people like me are aggravated, but...
Yes, okay?
Now you have to work twice as hard to win me back.
Yeah, because I'm just like, well...
Really? Is that how we're going to talk to people?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sort of like, some of my friends who are Republicans are just like, you know, as soon as the president goes on Twitter... He makes it almost impossible for me to defend the Republican Party.
Right. Right. Because same thing. He says things on Twitter that are threatening. He says things on Twitter that are intended to incite a certain kind of emotion.
They're demeaning.
At rallies, things like lock her up and those kinds of things. You know, again, similar idea of, is this really how we want to talk to each other? And is this really what we want our kids to see when they turn on the TV? Do we want them to? Well, I know people don't watch TV anymore. I know I'm a dinosaur, but you know what I mean. Like, do we want? Well, you coaching a bunch of little kids.
Yeah.
Do you want them to see you having that kind of discourse with the other coach? Of course not. That's why when parents run down onto the field and start yelling at the coach, I think your kids are watching, right?
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of kids watching you act like a jerk, and they're either taking away the message, oh, adults are jerks to each other, or if that parent wins, being a jerk gets you
something. Yeah.
Neither is a good message.
No.
Chuck Schumer, if you're listening, which I highly doubt, but if you are, shame on you. That is not okay.
Yeah. And President Trump, stop.
Tweeting for crying
out loud. Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Shame on you as well.
Yeah. Shame on you. Okay. To give you another example, my daughter came home and she was, we were doing homework. And then when she got done with her homework, she ripped it up. And I said, why did you rip up your homework, Mackenzie? And she was just like, well, wasn't there a politician who, like, you know, after her speech?
And I was Nancy just like, Pelosi.
And I was just like, okay, that was for drama. That was almost kind of sort of like acting. And she was just like, oh, so I don't get to rip up my homework when I'm done? And I said, no. Okay, you do your homework, you turn it in so it gets graded.
So you had to tape it back together.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Wow. Well, but she's 7. Yes. She saw something. She internalized it
in a way. She replicated it. Yep.
You know, people think they're not sponges, but they are.
Oh, my goodness.
They're human sponges.
Yes, they are. Okay. Anytime she hears.
Hence why there's a curse jar at your house.
That's right. Because every time I swear, okay, I, you know, go and get a quarter. Okay.
And put it in the jar, which shows her that it's not appropriate. And that it's going to cost you one way or another.
It's going to cost you, right?
I like the message.
And
you're funding her college at this point.
Yes, I am.
With the amount of money that's going into that jar.
Yeah, Mackenzie's just like, wow, you know, hey, Daddy, I'm
going to get a car when I'm 16.
I'm like, this
and
is
I'm going to get a nice car. Like, right? I'm going to get a Tesla or something.
And I'm like, no, Mackenzie, the 10-year-old Jeep that Daddy currently drives, if he takes care of it, that's the car you're going to get in another 10 years. And of course, the look on her face is just like, really, dude? Okay.
But, you know, by then, they'll be...
There won't be cars.
Or there'll be self-driving cars.
You know, we'll be
pods that you get in and we'll sing to work.
You know, we'll be jetting around like the Jetsons.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, the other night, speaking of watching TV, the other night before MASH came on some cable station, there were...
Ancient.
Yes.
Sorry.
Flintstones.
Oh, my gosh.
She was utterly fascinated by the Flintstones. She was just like, so you watch this, Daddy? And I said, oh, yes. And she goes, really?
And you can make a car move with your feet.
Feet, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And she goes, now, you're not so old that you actually ate with dinosaur bones, did
she
you?
She did not.
Yes, she did say that. I was just like, really? You're making fun of the man who just made you dinner.
Oh.
And she was just like.
Guess what? Your mac and cheese is going to have a lot of salt in it next week.
And she was just like. But, yeah, it was pretty funny because she was just like, did you watch this, Daddy? And I said, yeah.
She was, heck yeah. Flintstones.
Oh, yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo.
All that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was just utterly fascinated.
Which, when you go back and look at them, have not aged well.
No, they have not.
Because, the technology has just moved on to the point now where.
No, she likes Scooby-Doo for pretty much the same reason I did as a kid. She likes Scooby.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Raggy.
Yeah, right. Rest of the characters, they just don't resonate.
Their background.
Yes, right. But anytime, Scooby and Shaggy are like afraid or they're always eating, she goes, I understand why you like Scooby-Doo so much. He eats all the time, Daddy. And I said, what are you saying? She goes, you're always eating. She goes, and you are as funny as the dog is. And I said, oh, so I'm being compared to a dog now. She goes, yes.
Oh, you know, she probably thinks you're the lamest, dumbest person alive in some ways.
The one exception is because once or twice a year I bring her to campus, because, her school's out or, she might be getting over an illness and she can't go to school. So, she's stuck with Daddy. So it's, bring your daughter to work day. And she, within 5 minutes of whatever class, she immediately puts the buds in her ear and watches the tablet because she's just like, she goes, you seem to know stuff that like, what is this stuff, right? And I'm just like, this stuff I studied and talk about. And she was just like, yeah, right, talk. That's all you do.
It's right, talk. Which is professors, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's all we do. Right, talk, right? Yes.
So I want to finish up this podcast by saying, I think that it's been pretty clear, but I want to make it absolutely clear. We do not favor one politician over the other.
No, we do not.
We are grumpy at all of them.
Yes.
For acting badly.
Yes.
And they need to stop.
Yes.
That is our demand.
Yes.
We are going to make that demand politely by saying, please stop, instead of by threatening people and suggesting that we might hurt them in some way.
And I don't care if it's a Supreme Court justice, a member of Congress, the president of the United States, whoever. You have a position of trust. Whether you like it or not, and maybe you should have thought about this before you aspired to these positions.
Exactly.
Okay. People watch what you say and do. Many people emulate you.
Right, they internalize it.
Yes, you are a role model, and whether you like it or not. If you can't act better, then perhaps you should consider a different career.
Yep.
Perhaps.
Well said. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Nia.
You've been listening to Civil Discourse, brought to you by VCU Libraries. Opinions expressed are solely the speaker's own and do not reflect the views or opinions of VCU or VCU Libraries. Special thanks to the workshop for technical assistance. Music by Isaac Hobson. Find more information at guides.library.vcu.edu/discourse. As always, no documents were harmed in the making of this podcast.